Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Newfane Congregational Church, an eclectic community of seekers devoted to the practice and the sacred art of seeing and loving ourselves, each other, and the entire world around us through the unifying intimacy of God's holy vision. Whoever you are and wherever you find yourself on life's path, whether this church is familiar or new to you, whether you're very young or very mature, whether you're a sinner or a saint, you're so welcome here. And thank you for being here. Extra special welcome to you over there. And should ever our own welcome, or anyone else's for that matter, fail to honor you with the dignity of God's fulsome love, know that that same God loves you without question, without limit, without condition. Thank you for being here, and an extra welcome to any of you who are totally new here. We hope that you'll introduce yourselves to us either at some point in the service when there is participation from the congregation, or after service, because we'd love to get to know you. This morning, we are reminded that wherever there is rupture, there is also the possibility of remembrance. Wherever God's body is broken, there too can it be brought back together, thanks to the communal bonds that we draw across our lines of difference. So that we will be celebrating the inevitable reweaving of reality today through the sacrament known as Holy Communion. And in so doing, we will celebrate the fact that we and the world can be stitched back together into even holier tapestries than was possible before rupture. Our communion is open to anyone, whether you're baptized or not, whether you think of yourselves as Christian or not. It's pretty exciting, right? Yeah. So welcome and thank you all again for being here. At this time, I open the floor for announcements, and I'll just start with a quick reminder to please send your baby photos to Mike Hutchinson, our admin, before August 29th. Reverend Theo is preparing a really meaningful service in the near future that will incorporate baby photos. So if you have any that you haven't sent yet but want to, do so soon, either via email or you can hand in a hard copy. Are there any other announcements? Ant? Awesome. Thank you for coordinating all that. And just not to repeat everything that was just said, but if you're willing and able to help with Ken and Ellie with the meal train, please talk to Anne. That would be really wonderful. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? Hearing none. I invite you to join now in the call to worship that's printed in the bulletin. I'll be saying the parts that say one, and then the congregation as a whole is welcome to call back with the lines that say many. So, beloved of God, we gather now to seek the deeper things, the holier things, the higher things that nourish our intimacy with God and with one another. We come as God's chosen kin, holy and beloved, to be clothed in compassion, kindness, and love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Come, beloved, to worship and feast in the presence of Christ. Beautiful. You're now invited to rise in body or in spirit as we sing hymn number 502, and we're in for a special treat that includes flute.
my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Then I will stand by day or by night. Or waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I am with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou and my heart. My King of heaven, my treasure, thou. High King of heaven, my victory come. May I reach heaven's joyful bright and sun. Heart of my God, feeble. Still be thy mission, O ruler.
Gorgeous. Thank you, Tessa. You may be seated. Good morning. Brent, would you join me in the unison invocation printed in your bulletin? Gracious and renewing God, you call us to put away the patterns of fear and clothe ourselves in love. You make space within us for kindness to take root and for gratitude to bloom. In this time of worship, help us to remember who we are in you, chosen, holy, and beloved. Let your peace dwell richly in us and shape in us lives that radiate your grace. Amen. God's peace be with you. At this time, I invite us to rise as we are able and extend a sign of God's greeting with each other. What we tend to do here is we cup our hands like so and extend them outward to a neighbor. At this time, Gabriella is going to come forward and read the passage for us. Before she does so, I just want to call us together in a spirit of meditative prayer. Holy One, be with us now as we prepare to receive the words of this sacred text. Open our vessels. Open the eyes of our hearts. Help us, O God, to sit with your meaning, to make meaning together, and to make meaning with you. May these words be sown deep in our hearts and our consciousness and take root and germinate and bear good fruit. May it be so. Amen.
Today's passage is from the Colossians, letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And this is printed in your bulletin in the insert if you want to follow along while reading. So if you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, enslaved and free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Gabriella. And at this time, we are invited to listen with the youth that is within each of us to the youth message.
Good morning. You just have a spring. Awesome. Good morning. Excuse me while I just get a couple things here. Guys. Okay, so the one bird did not. Some of the birds just listen to the bugs. So let's break this down for a little bit, okay? So what Paul is telling us in that letter, right there, Paul is talking to us and telling us and reminding the Colossians. Can you say Colossians? Colossians. That's Colossians. So he's reminding this group of people to put their hearts and their minds on things above us, not just the things we see right here, not just the things right in front of us. Who has a tablet or a phone or who likes to watch TV, right? You know how when you're watching TV or you're on your tablet playing a game, you get sucked in, right? You're so focused. So sometimes when we get so focused on what's here, we miss all the what's around us. Does that make sense? You guys understand that? Yeah, when we're just focused on this, we miss all this, right? So we're asked to look up, to think, to see, right? Does that make sense? So look up at the depth, and then we're called to take off the old things, right? So Paul says, Get rid of the things like anger. Get rid of the things like lying. Get rid of the things like meanness. And like, right? Did you hear that when they were reading? And he compares that to taking off. So taking off their dirty clothes. Take off their dirty clothes at the end of the day. You guys take off their dirty clothes at the end of the day? And you think sometimes that is feeling good clothes? Sometimes I do. I'll be honest. Okay, so. So I have this shirt today. This shirt here. It's raggedy, it's dirty. All right, listen, is that Mathix?
Mathix? What's this one?
It's like Nokia. It's
not. I know.
You maybe tell us some fish. I want to go this one. This one looks. This one's mad. This one's saying it's a nice one. So, would you wear this to a party?
No.
You tell me that. I lost. I'm like, absolutely not. That's still. No. Well, what about. Yeah. So if we want to take off the old, then we have to put on the new, right? Right? If we want to take off the dirty stuff, if we don't wear that, then we have to put on a clean shirt, usually. Like, you know, right? So what does Paul tell us? Paul says to put on things like kindness, things like patience, things like forgiveness, right? Things like joy and love. Pinocchio, and we put love on like it's a coat. So I need somebody over here. Remy, can you help me, my dear? Sorry. So Remy, almost show us what happens when we put it on. Yeah, can you put it on facing that? Oh, great. Thanks, friend. Oh, you're good. No, she's good. Okay. Awesome. So the cool thing about Jesus is that when we are following Jesus, when we're listening to Jesus, we put on this new, right? And this new set. And
it's tricky because we've got a lot of things here. It's hard to put on the clean shirt sometimes, right? Here, let me make sure we're good here. Hold on, let's see. Are we good? Yeah, I think that looks great. Okay, this looks fantastic. All right, can you turn around and show everybody?
Wow.
Okay, so here, look at Remy. So this says we're putting on love. We're putting on forgiveness, right? This is somebody getting a little hug, sorry. We're putting on kindness, and we're putting on truth, right? So no lie. So that's what we do when we live our lives like Jesus, when we put on Jesus, right? And we show the world the love that we receive. From Jesus. Do you guys understand that? Is that pretty cool? So who wants to take off their old dirty clothes and put on clean, good clothes that are filled with love and kindness and take off the lies? Yeah, come from love, right? Yeah, do that. Very good. Well, thank you all for listening. You did a great job. So everybody else.
String officer. I feel proud of you, the one here in Haga. It's a beautiful. You can see her. That's the only fun part. Thank you so much, man. Thank you, kids. Have fun. Gonna give them a mom. Mm-hmm. Next blessing, isn't it? Being the resilient creatures that we are. On the one hand, so much that might knock us down, keep us down, we are able to withstand. We can endure incredibly traumatic experiences and somehow keep going. And on the other hand, what enables us to be so resilient is so often what keeps us living our one wild and precious life, to think the words of the poet Mary Oliver, as freely and as fully as we might. This is a well-observed phenomenon. If you ever adopted a traumatized animal from a shelter, you might have noticed that it takes time to acclimate them to the space they're in, to help them to train their bodies to see that they're no longer confined to this box with bars on it. Their lives are no longer regimented the way they were. They're protected, they're safe. It takes a long time for that message to begin. Similarly, when formerly incarcerated folks are released back into society and are having to rebuild their lives, they struggle with micro. Often it's been observed that they'll stay secluded in their apartments or their habitats, wherever they end up living. And they just live much the same way they did when they were in prison. I'm reminded how when Nelson Mandela was finally released in 1990 after 27 years in prison, many people feared that he might emerge bitter, vengeful, try to foment rest and violence. Instead, he walked out of prison with a remarkable grace and moral clarity, famous saying, "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead me to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I would still be in prison." Yet even with that intention, it wasn't instantaneous. He had to relearn how to live in a world that had gone on without him. He had to navigate fame and shifting politics and international pressure from movements around the world to be the person that it wasn't. His freedom came not in the moment, but as a practice, as a daily choice not to return to the emotional and spiritual prisons that confinement had tempted him to build. We learn one way or the other that confinement doesn't just restrict our body, it reshapes our soul. One of the distinctive features of this letter to the Colossians that distinguishes it from the undisputed letters of Paul, there are about 6 or 7 letters that scholars believe Paul absolutely wrote, and then the rest are kind of highly debated. And Colossians is one of those that's debated whether Paul wrote it. But whether he did or not, the author seems very closely aligned with Paul's own theology. He doesn't contradict Paul's theology, but he does elevate it and he does deepen it. I'm saying we don't know who the author was, but it was likely someone who was a disciple of Paul. One of the distinctive features, forgive me, is that one of the ways that he alters Paul's theology is that he talks about the fullness of life that is on offer right here, right now. Not in some future experience, not in some afterlife, not in some reward to come. fear, right? Trying to get people, Colossae, this church, to understand that this is reality here and now. You see, the Colossians, like so many of the churches that Paul wrote to, it was the same sort of thing. There are particularities and they're worth exploring, but the formula is basically the same. You have teachers come and they're stressing observance of the law. They're stressing you have to do it this way or you're not saved. These are the things that make you safe. These are the rules that keep you connected to the divine. And Paul, or Paul's disciple, is having you say, no, that's not right. That's not it. That's not the thing. The rule isn't the thing. Rules are helpful. Parameters are needed sometimes. And then when we're trying to embrace our freedom, when we're trying to live fully into the life that we are called to live, we bump up against that limitation. So can you hear in the voice of the letter to the Colossians this morning, Spirit telling us, you are free. The fullness of life is here, it is available to you. I know that you have experienced trauma. I know that you have been afraid for so long that if you do this or that or deviated this way, you'll not be safe anymore. Letter to the Colossians, that certainly needs the Colossians to understand. We are invited today to understand that the resurrection and the freedom and the fullness of life that it offers is available to us here and now. Struggling to believe that, or struggling to understand it, maybe that manifesting this question about, but what does that really mean? What's the meaning to be free? Not a fair question. And also, not wanting to bring that. Here, what the text is inviting us to hear. We no longer believe that there is something we have to do to live into the reality of God's grace. Here for us, for everyone. It's time for us to tighten the weave by which we are woven, observing Holy Communion as we do every month. Why do we do this so often? There are two sacraments that we recognize in the United Church of Christ. The sacrament of baptism, that's a one-time thing, and then there's this thing, communion. Christ's table, which we participate in
every month. Because of what we were just talking about, the messages of culture, the world around us, the messaging that tells us we have to be a certain way, we have to live a certain reality, we have to make ourselves small and fit into the confinement, the constraints of the world around us in order to be free. Now, one of the central paradoxes at the heart of the Christian tradition is contained within this feast. That is, to be truly and fully free is to willingly choose to bind ourselves together. So let's come to Christ's table. Let us get free by binding ourselves yet again. Here at New Faith Congregational Church, we practice what I like to call wide open communion. And you might have noticed in your experiences that some places you go, you have to be this, or you have to be that. Here, there's no creedal expectation, no belief that you're required to accept or assent to. It's just the only requirement for participation at Christ's table. It is a desire to be free, to be connected to each other and to God. We practice here using not wine, but grape juice and grapes to stand in for the fruit of the covenant. This is not because we're prudish or what have you. It's because we're in solidarity with our siblings in recovery. We have bread, symbolizing the broken body of Christ. You can have a gluten-free option. If you choose the gluten-free option, simply indicate that preference to the deacon when they get to you. With that, I invite us now into a moment of prayer. Jesus, abundant God, we thank you for this invitation to come as we are, to receive the broken body of Christ, to be washed in the fruit of the vine, cup of the covenant. Help us, O God, to receive these elements and to be transformed by them. Pour out your Spirit upon them in our gathering, as we weave together a tighter weave, this tapestry of belonging. In your name, your table, with hearts full of thanks, we say Hosanna and Amen. When Christ was facing imminent arrest, crucifixion, he had a few choices. He could have dodged. He could have gotten out of town. He could have slipped away quietly, ran for the hills, but instead he chose to gather with his friends, his closest companions, that table. He wanted a night of solidarity, a night of feasting, a night of intimacy with those he loved. When he got to the table with his friends, he had a piece of bread in his hand. He took that bread, broke it, and he blessed it and gave thanks for it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. When you come to this table, do so in remembrance of me." Friend, he took the wine from his glass, This fruit of the vine, this cup of the covenant, this is a cup of solidarity. This is a cup of camaraderie. It is a cup that washes away what keeps me from knowing you better, from connecting more fully with you. As often as you come together and eat this bread, drink also from this cup. I, my friends, Verna and George, are going to rise and serve you once again. If you have a desire for gluten-free bread, please indicate. As they come, I'm going to invite us into a moment of reflection as the bread is distributed. I want us to ponder the question, what are the limitations that I'm stuck in? What are the old stories? What are the old frameworks that are constraining me and keeping me small? May that be our meditation as the bread is distributed. Time. My friends Vernon and George are going to get right back up and serve the fruit of the vine. And as they do, I invite us to reflect on the question, how are these limitations that I have identified? How are they keeping me from relating more healthfully with my neighbor, with these people in my life that I maybe can't stand? Try to think of the person you just really have a hard time with and ponder what is keeping you from relating more fully with that person. To receive the cup of the covenant, let us now take and drink and or eat. Thanks be to God. You join me in a spirit of prayer, please. Great and gracious God, thank you for hosting us at this banquet of life, this feast of love that you have prepared not just for the chosen few, but for everyone. We give you thanks that you are the all in all, and that you are helping us to become freer one step at a time, one feast at a time. And is together with cords that cannot be broken. In your name, at your table, with grateful hearts, we say amen. If you join me in singing, if you know it, because I forgot to print it in the insert, the words to bind us together. But hopefully we've practiced it enough together. It's a simple enough song. Let us sing.
We come now to another invitation that is before us. This one is before us each week, and that is the invitation to continue to build the community that God is dreaming of through us and with us. A community that is characterized by love and solidarity and a commitment to justice and compassion. We do this in a number of ways, of course, in the space that we hold in this space, but also through the gifts of our tithes and our offerings that we give each week. So at this time, our friends Haley and Jason are going to rise. Oh, excuse me, Remy and Jason Jr. are going to rise and collect our offerings for us. So please let us give in a spirit of abundance and joy and thanksgiving. If we can't do it that way, let's not give. And if you can't give, just a prayerful intention is plenty. Thank you.
Praise God above all things. Praise God, look, which I see below. Praise God for all that love has done. Engage our Christ and Spirit one. Amen.
Would you pray with me, please? Hang on just a second. Gracious God, with these gifts, we declare our commitment to building a world where folks feel free and full and at home and abundant. With these gifts, may we open wide this covenant of belonging. May we set more plates at your table. May more souls feel free and unfettered and bound. May it be so. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. You probably notice that I jump right over the community prayer. See how many opportunities I give you to practice grace and patience with me. We come now to the sharing of our joys and concerns. For what do we pray? Yeah, Bucky. Oh, bless you, Bucky. Thank you for, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we hold those in our hearts who are mourning the loss of a loved one, including right now, especially you, Carlene and Bucky, as you grieve the loss of Marion and your family back home. Thank you. Debbie.
Peter Robert shares that with us, but been a resident of having them twice the time.
Oh, goodness. I hadn't heard. Thank you, Debbie. We hold in our heart Sylvie Elliott, who and her family and loved ones, and those she left behind at Valley Village. Thank you. Carlene. Yes, yes. Yes. Yes, holding in our prayers those who are in hospice care right now, and especially Ken Lemire and his wife, Ellie, and just continuing to surround them with care as we can. And yes, it is such an incredible joy to see new faces among us this morning. So thank you for coming. Thank you for blessing this space. Yes, Gabriella. Yeah. Yeah. It's here, here. Yeah, the soundtrack of Screaming Kids is actually a really wonderful soundtrack, especially when it's down there, right? And not up here. But I kid. Jason. Congratulations, Junior. It's good to have another responsible driver on the road, and I trust that you are responsible and will nevertheless adhere to your father's wishes and give you a wide berth as you come down the road. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, driving for me is multitasking. Like, you need to thank you. Prayers and joys for your newfound permit to drive. Ken. Oh, thank you for bringing that up, Ken. They do, in fact, need to be clothed. Photos of, please, as cute as I'm sure you are without clothes on, please send. else you might see a bar over your body and not your face. Thank you, Ken. Renee. Yes.
Sandy and I were in Nellie's delivering their supper. We heard this loud explosion and thought it was the transformer. We walked outside and the entire
boat. Oh boy.
So serious.
Mm.
My joy only sparked my bread.
Yes, yes. Joy as gratitude, yeah. Thank goodness that could have been bad. Thank you, Renee. We're so glad you're well and safe. Any other joys? Any other concerns? Yes, Phil. All those in harm's way. Would you join us now in the spirit of prayer? Beloved God, thank you so much for your presence here today and for accompanying us in these lives, even through isolating and harrowing circumstances. You stay with us. You help us in times of need and are with us in the joys as well, for which we have so very many. Thank you for all of the joys that have been shared this morning. And thank you for giving us the space of gratitude and of reflection to appreciate what we have in each other and in ourselves. We have what we need, thanks be to God. Even as we celebrate these joys, God, we come with heavy hearts praying for those in our presence and in our community who are grieving the loss of a beloved, those who are in hospice care, facing who knows how many more weeks or days. God, continue to help us to show up fully and presently with those in need. Help us to be a community that surrounds our neighbors with care and love, honoring them and their dignity. and being willing to be transformed by them. May we never seek to be a people who want change without ourselves being changed. Help us. Make us bold. Make us courageous. These things we pray as our Redeemer taught us to pray when he walked among us. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I invite you now to rise as you are able to sing hymn number 690, We Remember You.
Remember you. I will sacrifice of love. At this table here, mercy hovers here. Thanks is up, in this bread and cup. Precious risen Lamb, Jesus who was slain, now enthroned in glory, forever you reign. Gladly we praise. Oh, these signs of grace. Thanks is offered up in this bread and cup. Remember
you. Amen. You may be seated. I want to give thanks to everyone who helped make this service what it was today. Thank you to Gabriella for serving as our liturgist, to the HeartNet clan for their greeting and collecting, for Verna and George for your impeccable deaconing today. Thank you so very much. Thank you to Tessa. Wow, what a gift. I can't get enough of your flute. Thank you. And Jennifer, thank you so much for your selections and your playing. Thanks to Ruth for beautifying our space with the flowers, as you regularly do. And thanks to all of you for showing up, not just here, but how you show up in the world with compassion and grace for yourselves and for others. As we leave this space, may we continue to embody that grace for a world in need. I invite you now to raise your arms to receive the benediction. Go now full in the trust that you are free. The constraints are removed. You are able to walk and to take steps unencumbered. Walk trusting that you are loved and held and beheld. Go with love. Go in peace. Your trust is making you well. Amen.